Okay, Book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 8, starting from verse 1.
Who is as the wise man, and who knoweth the interpretation of a thing? A man's wisdom maketh his face to shine, and the boldness of his face shall be changed.
Solomon, with his wisdom, did not do right thing. And in this chapter he says, even though God gave him wisdom, he did not use his wisdom to glorify God. As you know, last time we learned, he had 700 wives and 300 concubines, and all those wives turned his heart to other gods. And when you worship other god, the Bible says, if you worship the heathen god or the god of stone, you will be like them. You will not have the wisdom. The people who worship the heathen god, they are not the smart people. We know the time of Daniel, they were all wise people were called, but not a single wise person was able to interpret dream or tell the meaning of the dream or what the dream was. Only Daniel was able to do, and Daniel gave all the glory to God. From that we know the worldly wisdom, the wisdom of the world, is nothing in the sight of God. And the people who are very wise, they think they are wise, but the word of God says they are spiritually dead. You remember one man says, I want to come and follow you, but let me go and bury my dad. What Jesus says, let the dead bury dead. You follow me. So even the wise people, they are walking dead. So here the Solomon is saying, who is wise? And then he says, if the wise person gives the interpretation, because maybe God gave him idea, or because of God's wisdom, then his face will shine. And that is true. If somebody asks you a question and you do not know the answer, you know what happened? You stand before that man like a dumb, and your eyebrow goes up and your face gets tightened, and you do not know what to do. But if you have the answer, then you feel free, your face will be shining, hardness of your face will go away. And that's very true. Let's go to Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verse 2 to 5. Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verses 2 to 5.
I counsel thee to keep the king's commandment, and that in regard of the oath of God. Be not hasty to go out of his sight, stand not in an evil thing, for he doeth whatsoever pleaseth him. Where the word of a king is, there is power, and who may say unto him, what doest thou? Whoso keepeth the commandment shall feel no evil thing, and a wise man's heart discerneth both time and judgment.
Here he is saying the king is the higher authority on earth. And the word of God says all kings, all the presidents that God has chosen. Sometimes we like them or we don't like them. But he says, if you're standing before the king, you cannot ask the king question. Whatever the question he is asking, you cannot say, why this? Why are you asking these questions? We cannot ask the king, because he says king has the authority. And once you obey the king or higher authorities, then you don't have to be worried about anything. Your life will be smooth, because God has kept these people to rule over us. And when they give some commandments and things like that, we have to obey them. Some people do not like. Just they said, we don't like to pay taxes because this is not God's doing. But the word of God says, what is belong to Caesar, give to Caesar. What is belong to God, give it to God. And so God has made rules and regulations. We are going to read a couple of verses. Book of Romans chapter 13, verses 1 to 7. Please read.
Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God.
See, here it simply says, all the higher authorities given by God. You like it or you don't like it. When God has chosen a man as a president or king, we have to honor them. We have to believe that without God's will, nothing can happen. God can put one person up And the same person can go down within a no time because God is the one supreme power. Okay, verse 2.
Whosoever therefore resisteth the power resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation.
If the king or president is there, and if you don't listen to them, then you disobeying God. So you like them, you don't like them, you have to listen. That's what the Solomon saying. If you don't listen to the king, then you will be punished and you will be suffering. So it is better to obey. Some people, you remember, they killing police officers and don't listen to their command. And that's why they get into trouble. But if you are not doing anything wrong, and if you're following the rules, you don't have to worry about president, or you don't have to worry about any king or anybody or any higher authorities, because they are not going to harm you if you don't do anything wrong.
For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same.
See, here is very simply saying, God has kept the rulers to rule over you, so you should obey them. Some people said, I don't want rules and regulations. Is there any country in the world do not have rules and regulations? Every country, every city, they have rules and regulations. If there is no rules and regulations, just think that the snowy day, and there was no signal, no police, no nobody. Many people will be killed and many people will be destroyed. So here the word of God is saying, God has given these people over to do something good for us. They are not thinking to harm us. People are thinking the police officers are bad, so let's kill all the police officers. That is the evil thing in their mind. Because God says God has given these people for our good, so we should thank God for each and every officer. And so we have to give them respect. When you give them respect, you will have peaceful life.
For he is the minister of God to thee for good, but if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain. For he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil.
Here he's saying, even though those are of ordinary people, but he said he's the minister of God. God had put those people there to rule over us. And if you do something evil, then we will be punished. Okay.
Wherefore ye must needs be subject, not only for wrath, but also for conscience sake. For to this cause pay ye tribute also, for they are God's ministers, attending continually upon this very thing. Render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor.
This is what God's will. That's why Solomon is saying, you have made an oath to God, so you better obey the higher authorities. Go to the 1 Timothy chapter 2 and read first 3 verses. Not only obeying them, but you should be praying for them.
I exhort therefore that first of all supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty.
If you pray for them, they will be doing the good job and we will be living peacefully. But when we fight with somebody, even though they want to do something good, they might do something wrong. So we have to pray. There was one minister I just heard of the day. He went to India to preach the gospel. And he went there and he could not do anything, American missionary. And so he got so frustrated, he came back to America. And then he heard about Paul asking people to pray for him because he wants to preach the gospel. He need people to pray for him. And he said 1,000 people he selected in different churches and said, please pray for me. When he asked those people, please pray 15 minutes per day, they promised him. He went back to India. He said now he has hundreds of churches. The same first week or first month or so, so many people got saved. Now this man is still alive. He is 98 years old today. So the point I'm making, prayer works. Pray for higher authorities. You will not have any problem. Especially pray for your pastor. Some people say, I'm praying, but they don't pray. You have to take time to pray for your leaders and pray for higher authorities, so we will have peace.
For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior.
What is it? This is good and acceptable in the sight of God. So that means this is God's will, to pray for one another. Pray for your pastor. Pray for your leaders. Pray for the higher authorities. Start praying from the police officer up to the president. And everyone you pray, and you will see some changes. According to the Bible, pray for your enemies. And if they're hungry, give them food. There is only one Savior. There is only one God. There is only one way. And there is no other way under heaven on earth that name is given. And that name is Jesus. Simple as that. You don't have to worry. If they kill, Matthew chapter 10 verse 28 says, if they kill you because of that, they kill your body. But they are not able to kill your soul. But he says, I have power to destroy body and soul in hell. So why we worry? Why we please people? Galatians chapter 1 verse 10, he says, if I try to please people, I cannot call myself the servant of God. So we have courage to tell the truth. And that's why I'm telling the ministers and other people, don't be afraid of anybody. Tell the truth. If they kill you, the shortcut to heaven. Why are you worried? I'm not worried about if somebody is killing me. I live for God. And God is protecting me. As you know, my engage, I went to the places people said, don't go there, they will kill you. But I went there and preached. I went there and preached to somebody's house. The person said, I'm going to kill you right now. I said, sir, can you give me a chance to pray first and then kill me? Is anybody sick in your family? He said, my wife is in the hospital. Can I go and pray for her and then come back and then you kill me? That's the kind of courage I had. I went to his wife in hospital, prayed for her. God healed her. I came to his house and I said, would you like to kill me? He said, no. He started bowing down. But I believe there is only one God, Jesus Christ. Jesus healed your wife. I didn't have to come back here. I was already out. The point I'm making, I'm not afraid of anybody, and you should not be afraid of anybody. And the word of God says, give respect to king, give respect to officers, give respect to everybody. Sometimes big ministers, nobody talks to them. They are afraid. They are church member afraid of talking to pastor, but I talk to them. Okay, let's go back to the Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verse 6.
Because to every purpose there is time and the judgment, therefore the misery of man is great upon him. For he knoweth not that which shall be, for who can tell him when it shall be? There is no man that hath power over the spirit to retain the spirit, neither hath he power in the day of death, and there is no discharge in that war, neither shall wickedness deliver those that are given to it.
Now here is saying, the man cannot change anything. He cannot change the time. He cannot change the judgment. He cannot change somebody's anger. He cannot change anything. Whatever is appointed is going to happen. And so he says, when you're living in this world, there is no certainty. Nobody can say, even your doctor cannot say that how long you're going to live. Point I'm making, we have to stand and we have to tell the people, life is very fragile. You can die anytime. Anything can happen. You cannot change. Doctor cannot change. You cannot change. He said, nobody has the power over their spirit. Your spirit can go anytime. But at the same time, the word of God says, if you are filled with the Holy Spirit, God has given power over your spirit. You can control it. But if you are not a godly person, you cannot control your life. Our life has so many problems. Only God can fix our life. Sickness, disease, any problem you're facing, you come to God. There is nothing impossible. He said, who has the power over the spirit? God. Lazarus was dead for how many days? 4 days. Jesus Christ comes and says, Lazarus, come forth. His spirit came back. God has given us that same power today. Somebody is dead and you can call that person, come back, he will. So he says, nobody has the power over death, only God. But God has given a certain power to us. How many people are raising dead people today? Today, not 2,000 years ago. Today this is happening. Verse 8, read one more time.
There is no man that hath power over the Spirit to retain the Spirit, neither hath he power in the day of death. And there is no discharge in that war, neither shall wickedness deliver those that are given to it.
Now here he gave two examples. He says just like you don't have power over your spirit, you don't have power over your death, that he says, I'll give you an example. Just like you are going in a war, and you sign up for the military, I'm going to serve. And when you see so much war is happening now, real war is happening, that's the time you said, I don't want to serve. I'm scared to serve. You sign up for the good education. You sign up to government money. And if there is no war, so you are happy. And the war breaks out. And that's the time you said, I want to resign. I don't want to do this thing. He said that would not work. When the wartime, soldiers cannot say, I cannot do it. But they will not discharge him. So he said, that's the situation. And then said the same way, the wicked person. You make a wicked person your friend, or a wicked person, you surrender your life to him and make a partner or marry somebody or do something for the wicked person, it will be difficult to get away from that person. Only death will be hanging over you. And there are some foolish ladies. You give them warning, this person is bad, this person is not going to do good and this and that, and they foolishly marry that person. And some of them, they kill them or they destroy their life. So here he says, just like you wartime, you cannot be coming out of the war. And the same time, if you are in the hand of wicked, you cannot come out of the hand of the wicked. That's the way the life is. Your life has no certainty. But God can do anything. There was one man, went to the military, and after going there, he saw the war, he didn't want to do it. So he ran for his life. They caught him, gave him punishment. They said, don't run like that. He ran three times, and he got a severe punishment. Finally, he called me, and he wrote me a letter. What should I do? I said, give your life to Jesus, and Jesus will set you free. He shall know the truth, and truth shall set you free. And if Jesus Christ set you free, you will be free indeed. So I prayed with him, and I said, when the officer calls you, and then he will ask you a question, tell him the truth. Tell him, I sign up for the war, but I don't like to kill anybody. I made a mistake signing. Can I go home? And what will happen? I said, they will let you go home. And I prayed for him. He gave his heart to the Lord. Here, officer calls him. Son, come here. Why are you running? He says, I don't like to fight and I don't want to kill. Go home. And he was discharged, came back and started attending my church. The point I'm making, there is nothing impossible. Nobody can deliver from the war. Yes, God can. God can deliver you from any situation, from death, sickness, disease, or you trap in somebody's business or life or whatever. God is the answer. Man doesn't have answer. Let's read the verse 9.
All this have I seen and applied my heart unto every work that is done under the sun. There is a time wherein one man ruleth over another to his own hurt.
Now here it is saying, one man rules over another for his own hurt. How it works. Now, if you try to overpower somebody and that person doesn't like you, that person is not going to keep quiet. He's going to hurt you. I saw one little boy was only 8 years old, and he saw one wrestler trying to take advantage of his older sister. An older sister might have said, hey, don't do anything and this and that. He said, there's nobody can do any harm to me. I do whatever I want to do, okay? The little boy said, I'm going to do something. He was hiding in one corner anyway. When the man was going to do some harm to his sister, he just put some knife into his stomach, a small knife, and the man collapsed and died. The point I'm making, if somebody try to overpower somebody, they think nobody is bigger than me. Somebody will come and destroy you. So here is saying, don't try to overpower somebody, thinking that they have no power. If little boy, 8 years old boy, can kill the big wrestler, there is nothing impossible. The word of God says when you get pride, so much pride, that person will come down. Humble person can be raised up. Verse 10.
And so I saw the wicked buried, who had come and gone from the place of the holy, and they were forgotten in the city where they had so done. This is also vanity.
Now here is saying, a wicked person. The wicked person will living in one town. He goes to temple. He goes to church. He gives maybe charity, money and everything. So pastor doesn't say anything. The priest doesn't say anything. And he does his wicked things. Here is saying the person goes to the temple. He comes back and everybody says good. And he gets the good burial of like a righteous man. Nothing happened. And so the people doing that, like I said earlier, people do not have power to say to somebody, you are doing wrong. They just try to please people and doesn't matter. And so he said, this wicked person, people thinking is a good man, give him a good funeral. Verse 11.
Because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil.
So he said, what happens? When you do not judge the wicked people, and you don't tell them you are wicked, and you don't tell them that they have to repent or they have to change, then what happened? Here he's saying, if you do not punish the people, evil people, right away, and let the evil people keep on doing wrong thing, then the evil flourish. That's what happens. Now, if you take the death penalty out, you can kill police officer, you can kill anybody, governor or president or anybody. No death penalty. If you are a governor or a president or anybody, you have to see what the Bible teaches. Bible is not against death penalty. Bible believes in death penalty. Now somebody say, but Jesus did not believe. I'll tell you. Jesus says, if you offend one of these child, it is better to put a big stone in your neck and put you in the sea. What happens then? Person dies or alive? Dies. So Jesus Christ was saying, if you do some crime, you should have death penalty. But if you take the death penalty, the crime goes more. People do more crime. Read the Isaiah chapter 26, verse 10.
Let favor be showed to the wicked, yet will he not learn righteousness. In the land of uprightness will he deal unjustly and will not behold the majesty of the Lord.
If wicked person, you keep on not punishing him, he's not going to learn anything. He will say, what I'm doing is right. People don't say I'm doing wrong. There are people killing people, so many people, and say, why do you do this? Oh, God told me to do that. What God was that? Maybe their God. Our God will not say, kill people. Then somebody says, then how can you say you should be having a death penalty? That's two different things. You do not go and start killing innocent people. But if somebody does the crime, they have to pay the penalty. So here the word of God is saying, if you do not punish the wicked person will do more wickedness and he will never learn anything. Tell them what is right and what is wrong. Some people do not know. You have to tell them. Somebody says, I didn't know. So you have to tell them. That's what we have to do. We are righteous people. Do the righteous advice. If they are wrong, you tell them you are wrong. And we should be fighting for the right. And if there is wrong, we have to tell the people you should not be promoting wrong. We take the death penalty out, but the killing the babies. What our mind is going? We kill the innocent baby, and we do not kill the criminals. Are we doing right thing? We are doing wrong thing. Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verse 12.
Though a sinner do evil 100 times, and his days be prolonged, yet surely I know that it shall be well with them that fear God, which fear before him.
Okay, now he says, the one person does 100 times evil things, what will happen to him? Now he's coming to his senses, he might get punished, but the righteous man will survive. Okay, verse 13.
But it shall not be well with the wicked, neither shall he prolong his days, which are as a shadow, because he feareth not before God. There is a vanity which is done upon the earth, that there be just men unto whom it happeneth according to the work of the wicked. Again there be wicked men to whom it happeneth according to the work of the righteous. I said that this also is vanity.
Now here he is saying, he get confused. He is saying wicked people, they are not get punished. So the evil is flourishing. And then he said, I saw something, the righteous people and wicked people having the same problem. Means, wicked people die, the righteous people die. Wicked people suffer, righteous people suffer. So, last time we read, he says, don't be so righteous and don't be so wicked. Be in the middle ground. Is that an answer? Don't kill 10 people, only we allow you to kill 5 people. That's not the answer. We cannot measure wickedness with our own judgment. You can obey 9 commandments and you miss one, you are guilty of all. The same way here is saying, if the person is doing wicked thing and the righteous people does righteous thing and everybody suffers the same way, then this is all vanity. So what does it mean? Righteous go to hell and the sinners go to hell. There is no remedy. That's the way you're teaching. Otherwise, you do 100 crimes, nothing happens. Or you do 10 crimes, nothing happens. So what? Do more crimes. That's what it is. But God is the righteous judge. God is not judging like what Solomon thinking, or the our government thinking, or the other people thinking. Our God is a righteous God. He has the rules and regulations. God is going to judge the wicked. God is not going to punish the righteous. Otherwise, nobody will want to believe Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Let's read a couple of verses. James chapter 4, verse 6 to 10. Please read.
But he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble.
See, God resists the proud. Who is the proud person? A sinner. First bright person we saw, the Lucifer. What happened? He lost the kingdom of God and now he's ready to go to eternal hellfire. So the proud people are going to punish. But the humble people will have more grace. And the humble people means when you humble your life in the sight of God, say, Lord, I'm sorry for my sin. That what kind of sin I was doing. And somebody told me, or the word of God told me, I'm going to humble myself. I'm going to receive Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. You will be blessed. Verse 7.
Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you.
When you humble yourself and you have Jesus Christ in you, then the devil has no power. 1 John chapter 4 verse 4, it says, the greater one is in you than what is in the world. The devil has no power to defeat the child of God. So here he's saying, you have power when you submit your life to Jesus Christ, then you have power to resist the devil and devil will flee from you. But if you live in sin and say, I'm going to resist the devil, but the devil says, you have the example in the Bible, Siva's sons, they start casting the devil. He says, hey, Paul I know, Jesus I know, who are you? And the devil jump on them and they were naked and wounded and start running. So you cannot resist the devil if you're living in sin. Because some of the scriptures you know and you want to put it in action, your life has to be right. Here the word of God is saying, you humble yourself, you submit yourself to God, you live a godly life, then devil will obey you. Otherwise, devil will not obey you, he will jump on you. And he will destroy you. Your life has to be life of God. Okay.
Draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded.
See, here is saying, if you are double-minded, you don't believe what you pray, if you don't believe what you do, and then you will have a problem. That's why He said, you cannot live in sin. You have to cleanse yourself in the blood of Jesus Christ. You have to repent of your sins, and then the things will start happening. Here the Word of God says, if you live in sin, and if you are double-minded, you don't believe what the Word of God is saying, and you start doing the things, it will not work.
Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He shall lift you up.
Humble yourself, and He will lift you up. We have to say, Lord, if there is anything wrong in me, just like David says, search me and talk to me, and I want to repent. We have to see what the Bible says. You have to be born again to be a child of God. You have to be filled with the Holy Spirit to be a bride of Christ. And not only that, you have to live a clean and holy life until you die. There is no middle cut. Some people say, oh, once you say it, do whatever you want, you will go to heaven. So when they say, okay, I want to be gatekeeper in the heaven, so I don't want to get into the heaven. I just stand in the gate. If that's the kind of life you learn, then you don't know where you're going. You don't know what you're learning. You don't know what you're doing. You don't know what you're getting. It takes the courage to tell somebody. Chapter 5, you say. Okay. Please read.
This is fine.
Yeah. Okay.
Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil is a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour.
Now here is saying, be humble, be vigilant, but as a believer, we have to know the devil is there as a roaring lion, and he wants to destroy you. So if you're not sober, if you're not living the right life, you are in danger zone. But if I am living a born-again Christian life, according to the 1 John chapter 4, verse 4, I have power to defeat the devil. But if you can be a good Christian and a 10-year Christian, and then slowly you said, oh, you know what? This liquor is good for your digestion. So let's take a little liquor for your food. Bible says so. And you start drinking, and finally bottle, and you destroy your life. So we have to be very careful. There are Christians called sipping saints. What does it mean? They drink wine. And they are telling this is nothing wrong. But the people who are addicted with wine, they know the smell of wine can pull them back. So it's better to not to smell it and not to go that way. You will be in danger zone. Otherwise, devil will destroy you. Okay, that's enough for now. Let's go back to the book of Ecclesiastes chapter 8 and start reading from verse 15 and 16.
Then I commended mirth, because a man hath no better thing under the sun than to eat and to drink and to be merry. For that shall abide with him of his labor the days of his life which God giveth him under the sun. When I applied mine heart to know wisdom and to see the business that is done upon the earth, for also there is that neither day nor night seeth sleep with his eyes.
Okay, 16th we'll talk later. But 15th verse is saying, he's giving advice. He said, I want you to eat, drink, and be happy. Joyful in this world we came to eat and drink. And that's what people are thinking. In this world, what are we going to take? Just eat and drink and be happy. That is not what Bible teaches. We are not here eat and drink. What Jesus Christ says, Matthew chapter 4, verse 4. He says, man shall not live by bread alone, but every word proceeded out of the mouth of God, we can live, we can survive. But the bread will take you to hell. The good food and good things, and you eat and be happy and be joyful, that's what he's advising. Read the Romans chapter 14, verse 17.
For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost.
See what the word of God is saying? The kingdom of God is not eating and drinking and having good time, but the kingdom of God is with what? The joy of the Holy Spirit. Filled with the Holy Spirit. Praise God and glorify God and do the Lord's work. That's the kingdom of God, not eating and drinking and having fun on this earth. And that's what our life is all about. Read the 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31.
Whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God.
This is what we have to learn. Eat or drink or whatever you do, do it for the glory of God. Am I drinking this wine for the glory of God? I'm drinking or eating certain food, it's for the glory of God. If it is not, we should not be doing it. But nobody tells, oh, everybody's doing it. Everybody's doing it if the Bible allows you to do it. The Word of God and the Bible is our guidebook. Okay, let's go back to the book of Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verse 16 and 17.
When I applied mine heart to know wisdom and to see the business that is done upon the earth, for also there is that neither day nor night seeth sleep with his eyes. Then I beheld all the work of God, that a man cannot find out the work that is done under the sun, because though a man labor to seek it out, yet he shall not find it further. Though a wise man think to know it, yet shall he not be able to find it.
He's saying there are people working day and night. Sometimes they might be do accomplish something, engineers, scientists, and some of the people work day and night to do some research and things like that. But he says, another thing I like to tell you, there are people start doing research what God has already done. Now, for example, people are thinking how your brain works, how your heart works, and what are the parts of the body works and this and that. They are searching and researching. But not a single scientist or single doctor or single person came to know everything what God has made in a man or the man's brain, how it works. They are still studying it. And he says, if they start doing the what God has done and what the God's work is done and start doing research on that, it will be difficult. They will not even find out in their lifetime. Now, for example, people are going on a moon and they said, okay, we went to moon. Now let's go to the Mars and let's go to some other planet. So this is just God made, but people do not know yet the what's happening in the sea. And some of the people are finding out there are so many creatures in the sea and what their behaviors are, and they don't know yet. They are just doing dolphin, whale, and big items. But there are so many other creatures people don't know. They are doing some research on mosquitoes and flies and some different kinds of birds, but there are still billions of things we don't know. So he said, worldly wisdom will not understand the God's wisdom and God's powers and God's doing, even though you do day and night and sleepless night and sleepless day you take and do this research, you will not find out the truth about what God has made. Let's read the Romans chapter 11, verse 33 to 36.
Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out.
It is unsearchable. You cannot find out God's wisdom, God's doing, and what God has done in this world. Okay, go ahead.
For who hath known the mind of the Lord, or who hath been his counselor?
See, he's asking question. Who is the person in this world that asks the God question or be his counselor? Does God ask anything to the man? You know what? I don't know what I'm going to do to run this world. No. God is so powerful. Billions of people living on this earth. God knows everybody's name. God knows everybody's address. God knows everybody's desire. And God answers everybody's prayer. And he doesn't sleep. He doesn't slumber. He doesn't get tired or he doesn't get weary. That's the powerful God. We cannot control our two children or three children in the house. Billions of people God is controlling. Okay, go ahead.
Or who hath first given to him, and it shall be recompensed unto him again. For of him and through him and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen.
Amen. So, just give glory to God. Shall we rise? Just give glory to God. Our God is the wise God. God is the miracle-working God. God does the signs and wonders and miracles. And sometimes our peanut brain doesn't understand. So we should just surrender our life to God. I say you are engineer, you're a lawyer, you're so much a wise person. But in the sight of God, we are all dust. We cannot understand the deep things and the things of God. Only those things can understand by the Spirit of God. When we have the Spirit of God, then we will know the mystery of God. We will know the mystery of Christ. We will know the mystery of the church. We will know the mystery of heaven. We have to have the Spirit of God. And that is more important than have the worldly knowledge. Shall we pray? Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you. Thank you, Lord, for giving us grace. Lord Jesus, let the people come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. We commit ourselves into your loving hands. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Please be seated.